Listeners, that you can also listen to this program live at TuneIn.com or download the TuneIn app and search for 106.1 FM. Today, the topic will be about different ways of becoming a good devotee. But first, let's read some verses from the Bhagavad Gita as it is.
Friends are others as Prabhuji and others ladies as Mataji. So why we feel that? We want to remind ourselves as servants of all other entities, So that's why others Prabhu, gents wear the first Prabhu. So that like, so you are my Prabhu and I am trying to be servant of you. So that's the one. And while we are addressing this ladies, we address them as Mataji. So we want to see all the ladies as our mothers.
Etadvetim icchaham jnanam jneyam cha keshava Shri Bhagavan uvacha idam shairam kaunteya kshetram yitya videyate etad yoveti tam prahu kshetrajna iti tadvidaha.
Arjuna said, O my dear Krishna, I wish to know about Prakriti, nature, Purusha, the enjoyer, and the field of the knower of the field, and of knowledge, and the object of knowledge. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, This body, O son of Kunti, is called the field, and one who knows this body is called the knower of the field.
Kshetrajnam chapi mam viddhi sarva kshetreshu bharata Kshetra kshetrajna yor jnanam yattat jnanam atam mama.
O son of Bharata, you should understand that I am also the knower in all bodies. And to understand this body and its knower is called knowledge. This is my opinion.
Kshetram yayachat yatcha yat vikari yatascha yat sachayo yat prabhavascha tat samasena meshrunu.
Now please hear my brief description of this field of activity and how it is constituted, what its changes are, whence it is produced, who that knower of the field of activities is, and what his influences are.
Rishibhir bahudha gitam chandobir vividai pratah brahma sutra patayischaiva hetumadbir vinishchitai.
That knowledge of the field of activities and of the knower of activities is described by various sages in various Vedic writings. It is especially presented in Vedanta Sutra with all reasoning as to cause and effect.
Mahabhutanyahankaro buddhir avyaktamevacha indriyani dashaikamcha పంచచేంద్రియ గోచరా ఇచ్ఛా దేవేశ సుఖం దుఃఖం సంగాతశ్చేతనాదృతి ఏతత్ క్షేత్ర సమాసేన సవికారం ఉదాహృతం.
The five great elements, false ego, intelligence, the unmanifested, the ten senses, and the mind, the five sense objects, desire, hatred, happiness, distress, the aggregate, the life symptoms, and convictions. All these are considered, in summary, to be the field of activities and its interactions.
అమానిత్వం అనంబిత్వం అహింసాక్షాంతిరాజవం ఆచార్యోపాసనం శౌచ్యం స్త్రియేరాత్మవినిగ్రహ ఇంద్రియార్తేషు వైరాగ్యం అనహంకారమేవ చ జన్మ మృత్యు జరా వ్యాధి దుఃఖ దోషానుదర్శనం అశక్తి అనభిష్వగ్నః పుత్రదార గృహాదిషు నిత్యం చ సమచిత్తత్వం ఇష్టానిష్టోపపత్తిషు మయి చానన్య యోగేన భక్తిర్ అవ్యభిచారిణి వివిక్త దేశ సవిత్వం అరాతిర్జన సంశదై ఆధ్యాత్మ జ్ఞాన నిత్యత్వం తత్వజ్ఞానార్థం దర్శనం ఏతవ్ జ్ఞానమితి ప్రోక్తం అజ్ఞాయం యదతోన్యత.
Humility, pridelessness, non-violence, tolerance, simplicity, approaching a bona fide spiritual master, cleanliness, steadiness, self-control, renunciation of the objects of sense gratification, absence of false ego, the perception of the evil of birth, death, old age, and disease, detachment, freedom from entanglement, with children, wife, home, and the rest, even-mindedness amid pleasant and unpleasant events, constant and unalloyed devotion to me, aspiring to live in a solitary place, detachment from the general mass of people, accepting the importance of self-realization and philosophical search for the absolute truth. All these I declare to be knowledge, and besides this, whatever there may be is ignorance. I shall now explain the knowable, knowing which you will taste the eternal. Brahma, the spirit, beginningless and subordinate to me, lies beyond the cause and effect of this material world.
Sarvatah Panipadam Tat సర్వతో కృషి శిరోముఖం సర్వత శృతిమల్లోకే సర్వం ఆవృత్య తిష్టతి.
Everywhere are his hands and legs, his eyes, heads and faces, and he has ears everywhere. In this way the supersoul exists, pervading everything.
సర్వేంద్రియ గుణాభాషం సర్వేంద్రియ వివర్జితం అశక్తం సర్వభృచ్ఛైవ నిర్గుణం గుణభోక్తర్ చ.
The supersoul is the original source of all senses, yet he is without senses. He is unattached, although he is the maintainer of all living beings. He transcends the modes of nature, and at the same time he is the master of all the modes of material nature.
బాహిరంతశ్చ భూతానాం అచరం చరం ఏవచ సూక్ష్మతత్తాది అవిజ్ఞేనం దూరస్థం చాంతికేతత్.
The supreme truth exists outside and inside of all living beings, the moving and the non-moving. Because he is subtle, he is beyond the power of the material senses to see or to know. Although far, far away, he is also near to all.
Avibhaktam cha bhuteshu vibhaktam iva cha sthitam భూత భర్తుర్చ తజ్ఞేయం గ్రాశిష్ణు ప్రభ విష్ణు చ.
Although the Supersoul appears to be divided among all beings, he is never divided. He is situated as one. Although he is the maintainer of every living entity, it is to be understood that he devours and develops all.
జ్యోతిషం అపి తజ్జ్యోతిష్ తమసః పరముచ్యతే జ్ఞానం జ్ఞేయం జ్ఞానగమ్యం హృది సర్వస్య విస్థితం.
He is the source of light and all luminous objects. He is beyond the darkness of matter and is unmanifested. He is knowledge, he is the object of knowledge, and he is the goal of knowledge. He is situated in everyone's heart.
Iti kshetram tata jnanam jneyam choktam samastatha madbhakta yetad vijnanam madbhakta vayopavyate.
Thus, the field of activities, the body, knowledge and the knowable have been summarily described by me. Only my devotees can understand this thoroughly and thus attain to my nature.
Prakritim purusham chaiva vidyanadi ubhavapyapi vikaram cha gunam chaiva vitti prakritir sambhavan.
Material nature and the living entities should be understood to be beginningless. The transformations and the mode of nature are products of material nature.
అధమ పథిత జీవే ద్వారి ద్వారి హరి నామ మహామంత్ర దేన బిలాయియా దేఖే థారి కహ తంతె త్రినాదోరి జారే దేఖే థారి కోహె తంతె త్రినాదోరి amare kini aloh bhajo gaurahari amare kini aloh bhajo gaurahari eto boli nityananda bhumika di chai e Eto boli nityananda bhumi kadi chai. Sonara parvata jena dulite vatai. Samara parvata jena dhula te lothai.
Samara parvata jena dhula te
lothai. Heno avatare jar rati na janilo.
Heno
avatare jar rati na janilo. Lochan bole se pape elo agelo.
Lochan bole se pape elo
agelo. Lochan bole se pape elo agelo.
Lochan bole se pape elo agelo.
Akaroda paramananda nityananda rai. Akaroda paramananda nityananda rai. Abhimana sunyanita nagare beda. Abhimana sunyanita nagare beda. Akaroda paramananda nityananda rai. Akaroda paramananda nityananda rai. Akaroda paramananda nityananda rai. Akaroda paramananda nityananda rai. Abhimana sunyanita nagare beda. Abhimana sunyanita nagare beda. Akaroda paramananda nityananda rai. Akaroda paramananda nityananda rai. Akaroda paramananda nityananda rai. Abhimana sunyanita nagare beda. Abhimana sunyanita nagare beda. Akaroda paramananda nityananda rai. Akaroda paramananda nityananda rai.
Hello Houston, this is Bhadra here. Again, you are listening to Waves of Devotion at 106.1 FM. If you want to listen this program live, you can go to tunein.com or download the TuneIn app if you have mobile users. So today, before getting ready for the radio program, Vasavi, myself and Radha, we had a small chat. So we had a very interesting conversation about the ways of becoming a better devotee. So everybody in their life, they're devotees, but everybody are in their journey of devotion, they are at different places. So wherever the place we are, we can still become a better than where we are, right? So we are discussing on that, and I would ask Vasavi to retell our listeners about our conversation. Vasavi?
Sure. Well, becoming a devotee can be a little hard sometimes because you don't know where to start or how to begin what you already know. So there's a verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam that can help you to understand what to do in just few steps. Radha, can you say the verse, please?
No problem. This verse is from Srimad Bhagavatam. It's from Canto 7, Chapter 5, verses 23 to 24. Shravanam kirtanam Vishnu smaranam padasevanam archanam vandanam dasyam sakyam atmanivedanam.
This verse describes the nine process of devotion. We will briefly translate these steps into simple terms. The first step in the verse is Shravanam, and this means hearing or listening. The second step is Kirtanam Vishno. This means the chanting and only the chanting of Lord and no one else.
And the third step is Smaranam, which means to remember the Lord always. The fourth step in Padasevanam, and this means to always serve to the feet of the Lord. Why? Because his feet are the most merciful part of him. The fifth step is Archanam, which means to offer and worship the Lord with different paraphernalia.
The sixth step is Vandanam, and this means to offer prayers. So when we chanted verses from Bhagavad Gita earlier, we are following the sixth step. The seventh step is Dasyam, and this means to always be a servant at the Lord's feet. This can also mean becoming a servant of Lord's devotees as well. But more than being that servant of the Lord itself, you can be a servant of the servant, because we cannot always reach the Lord directly. So by becoming a servant of the Lord, we can reach through his servant. Just like if you want to go and meet the president of US, you cannot meet him directly. So you go to your local counselor, and through him you find a channel to directly then go and meet the president. So that's like you're meeting the servant of the Lord. So this is what actually catches the Lord's eye, because you are serving one of his good devotees, and this makes him more happier than serving him directly. So that is about the serving Lord's feet.
That's cool.
Nicely put, Prabhuji. And the eighth step, Sakyam, this means to consider oneself as the best friend of the Lord. And this is actually a very interesting step, because, you know, people, they usually think of the Lord as, you know, fearful, like, you know, how people say, oh, I'm going to put the fear of God in you, or, you know, the master of everything, or the almighty one. But has anyone ever thought of the Lord as their best friend? I mean, think about it. When you're all by yourself, who do you always have with you?
The Lord.
Exactly. He's always present with you, and he's always watching over you. He will come to your rescue faster than an ambulance or a police car, or faster than you can type 911. In times of help, you don't need to have a cell phone around to call someone, because you can always rely on the Lord, and he will answer you at any time, anywhere. And this can also happen without, you know, service or cell reception.
That's what I do at school when my friends don't play with me. So I just talk to Krishna. Well, to other people, it looks like I'm talking to myself, and then they think I'm weird.
Well, they don't know that what they're meaning missing actually on Vasavi. And the thing is, like, so when we're referring that we are dependent on Lord, it's not that, like, okay, we're not being practical as such. So we have our friends, so we want to engage with our friends, and we have our family, we spend time with them, all those things. We have some physical needs, we go to our parents, or we reach out to the friends. But there are some situations where nobody can actually and practically help us. That's the times where we can turn to Lord. The last step of the devotion process is Atmanivedana. This means to surrender everything one has onto the Lord. In other words, serve the Lord with one's mind and words. If you go into deep about every process, then we'll always be staying here until tomorrow morning. So instead, we will go over the first process of devotion, which is Shravanam. Shravanam means, what is that, Vasavi?
To hear.
To hear. Okay.
So now we will listen to a short lecture on one of the Lord's most exalted devotees, Srila Prabhupada.
This human form of life should be properly utilized, not simply engaged in sense gratification like cats and dogs. That is not very responsible life. Responsible life is that I have got this improved form of life than the cats and dogs, and I have got more intelligence than the cats and dogs. If I simply utilize it for four bodily necessities of life, four bodily necessities of life means we require some eating. The cats, dogs, human beings, or High Court judge or anyone, they require some eating. They require sleeping, apartment. So that is, cats and dogs can sleep without apartment. But the sleeping required, that is fact. Eating required, that is fact. And sex life, that is also fact. And defense, that is also fact. But these things are common to the cats and dogs and man, human being. So what is the special feature of the human being? The special feature of the human being is that a human being can consider that I have got this nice American and Australian and Indian body, then what I am going to get next? What kind of body? That is utilized for human intelligence. A cat and dog cannot think like that. Therefore, our business should be, now by the nature's way, have come to this form of life, by evolutionary process. Now I've got good intelligence, how I shall utilize it? You are cultivating knowledge, the ultimate goal of knowledge, Krishna says, is to know me. Vedaishta sadvai ahameva vedam. The whole knowledge is meant for understanding God. That is the end of knowledge. By progressive knowledge, you can make progress, but unless you do not come to the point to understand what is God, then your knowledge is imperfect. That is called Vedanta. Hathata brahma jigyasa. This human form of life, nice facility, intelligence, just like Australia was undeveloped since the Europeans came here. It is now very developed, resourceful, because the intelligence has been utilized. Nature is a machine. So do you think a machine works without an operator? Do you think? Is there any evidence? Now this is a machine, photography, a wonderful machine. It is taking the picture and it will move. But there is an operator. Where is the machine which is working without operator? Can you give any example? Here is a machine which is working without operator. How do you think that the nature machine is working without the supreme operator, God's instructions? How do you think it? This is not very reasonable. We have to judge. There are different evidences. One of the evidence is hypothesis. That hypothesis is that because we see that no machine works without operator, therefore we should conclude it, even though we do not know what is God, what is the nature, we must conclude it that the nature is working under some supreme operator, that is God. It is not necessary to see the operator, but we can guess that there must be operator. The human life is meant for finding out who is there to operate. That is human life. Other is it cats and dogs life? They're eating, sleeping, mating and dancing, that's all. That is not human life. You must find out who is the operator. Athāta brahma jigyāsa, this is called in Sanskrit word. Now this human form of life is meant for inquiring about the supreme operator. Now that supreme operator, Krishna, is so kind. He is giving evidence in the Bhagavad Gita. Maya dhakṣena prakṛti syate sa charācaram. Now here I am, under my direction, the prakṛti, the nature, material nature is working. So you accept, then your business is done. And Krishna gave evidences how he is controlling the nature. When Krishna was 7 years old, he lifted one big mountain on his finger. That means our understanding is that there is law of gravitation. By law of gravitation, such a big mountain, it cannot stay in one man's finger. That is our calculation. But he did it. That means he counteracted the law of gravitation. That is God. So, if you believe this, then you know God immediately. There is no difficulty. Just like if the child is born, my dear child, do not touch fire, it will burn you. So if the child accepts, then he gets the perfect knowledge immediately. If the child does not accept, he wants to make experiment, then he will burn his finger. So our process of knowledge, we should take from the supreme authority. Then we save time for research work. That is Krishna consciousness movement. We take perfect knowledge from Krishna. I may be imperfect, just like child is imperfect. I may be imperfect, you may be imperfect. But if you take the perfect knowledge from the supreme perfect, then your knowledge is perfect. That is the process. This is called avarohopantha, knowledge coming, deductive knowledge. So everything is there, and if you like to take advantage of this movement, make your life perfect, go back to home, back to Godhead, then fully utilize the center, our Melbourne center, come here, read our books and argue, try to understand with your full knowledge, no blindly acceptance. There is reason, there is argument, there is philosophy, there is science, everything is there. And if you accept that simply by chanting I shall realize, that is also allowed. Both ways. If you accept this simple process, the chant Hare Krishna and realize God, that is also fact. And if you think, what is this nonsense, chanting Hare Krishna, then you read books. Both ways we are prepared. come and take advantage of this moment. Thank you very much.
Jai! Jai! Jai!
He's a kind and gentle soul. His heart is never cold. So peaceful and poetic, with a message true and bold. He's never seeking praise, so silent and so grave. And his transcendental love is the magic in his ways. And when I see his love, I know I've got a long, long way to go. When will I taste the love that he is feeling inside? He's always meek and mild, with a warm and friendly smile. So simple in his living, singing all the while. He sings out Krishna's name, his glory and his fame, to serve his Lord and Master, in pleasure or in pain. And when I see his love, I know I've got a long, long way to go. When will I taste the love that he is feeling inside? It's found in the sound of Krishna's name. And when I see his love, I know I've got a long, long way to go. When will I taste the love that he is feeling inside?
So now that we've heard from a great devotee of the Lord, I would like to share a small story about another great devotee who was always remembering the Lord, and his name was Prahlad. So once there was a king named Hiranyakashipu, and he was the king of all demons. The demons, although they were born of the same parent as the demigods, they were always at war with each other. And Hiranyakashipu, the king of the demons, he suddenly succeeded in conquering the demigods, and he seated himself on the throne of the heavens, and he ruled all the three worlds, which was the middle world. It was inhabited by men and animals, the heavens inhabited by the gods, and the nether world, or the underworld, which was inhabited by demons. Hiranyakashipu, he was so proud and arrogant that he had succeeded in conquering all the three worlds, and he declared himself to be the god of the whole universe. And he proclaimed that there was no other god but himself. And he strictly said that whoever worships Lord Vishnu, they will be executed and killed and tortured in several different ways. So over a few years, Hiranyakashipu and his wife had a son called Prahlad. And it so happened that this Prahlad, from his infancy, he was devoted to God because he listened to the teachings of the Lord by Narada Muni when he was inside his mother's womb. And Prahlad showed these indications of spirituality as a child, and Hiranyakashipu feared that his son would soon start to worship Lord Vishnu, the very thing that Hiranyakashipu was trying to, you know, avoid. But so Hiranyakashipu, he handed his son to two teachers called Shanda and Amarka. They were very, very stern disciplinarians, and they had strict instructions that Prahlad was never to hear even the name of Vishnu mentioned, and that they have to teach Prahlad the ways of how to enjoy materialistic desires. So the teachers, they took this prince to their home, and there he was put to study with other children of his age. But the little Prahlad, instead of learning from his books, he devoted all of his time in teaching the other boys how to worship Vishnu. And when the teachers found out, they were so frightened for their lives, because if Hiranyakashipu found out, he would chop off their heads. So Prahlad, he couldn't stop his teaching and worshiping Vishnu. So finally it got way too far, and the teachers, they told the terrible fact to the king that his son was not only worshiping Vishnu himself, but, you know, he was also spoiling all the other children by teaching them how to worship Vishnu. And hearing this, the king became very much enraged when he heard this, and he called Prahlad to his presence. And Prahlad is, after all, his son, and Hiranyakashipu feels like a father, just like any other. So Hiranyakashipu, he tried being gentle, and he tried to persuade Prahlad that Vishnu wasn't a god and only he was. But then again, Prahlad, he said that the omnipresent Vishnu, Lord of the universe, was the only being to be worshipped. And the very king that Hiranyakashipu sat on, he would only have it as long as Vishnu, you know, wants it. And the rage of Hiranyakashipu when he heard this was so terrifying that he ordered Prahlad to be immediately killed. This is how mad he was. I mean, a father trying to kill his own son just because the son didn't agree that the father was the Lord. That's really sad. So the demons, they stabbed him with pointed weapons, but Prahlad's mind was so intent upon Vishnu that he felt no pain from them. And when his father, the king, when he saw this, he became so frightened, but he's a demon, and he came up with such terrible and torturous means to kill Prahlad. He ordered him to be trampled under a foot of an elephant, and the enraged elephant tried to crush Prahlad, but it was like trying to crush iron, and this was also no use. And after a while of just meditating upon the Lord, the elephant, in fact, this certain elephant that Hiranyakashipu ordered to kill Prahlad with, it was the mad elephant. This was one elephant that was known for killing and crushing anything in its path. It was used for, you know, war. But seeing Prahlad, the elephant, it felt peace. And all of a sudden, the elephant just bowed to Prahlad, became peaceful and serene, and it left. When the king found that nothing could kill Prahlad because of the devotion he had to Vishnu, he became furious with rage, and he threatened to kill him, and he abused Vishnu in the worst language. And then again he started to torture Prahlad. You know, he put him in a pit of snakes, of the most venomous snakes in the land. And the snakes, they were so poisonous, and they bit Prahlad, but nothing happened. And Hiranyakashipu, he also put Prahlad in boiling hot oil. And this would normally burn off, a person's skin. But as usual, nothing happened to Prahlad. And when Hiranyakashipu found out about all of this, he was extremely scared. But Prahlad, after Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlad again, who was the Lord, Prahlad still insisted that Vishnu was the Lord of the universe and he was alone to be worshipped. The king, he roared with anger and said, "If Vishnu's everywhere, is he in this pillar?" Prahlad said, "Of course." The king then said, "I will kill this Vishnu with my mighty sword." Then the king hit the pillar with his sword and broke it. There was a thundering and terrifying voice that came from the pillar, and there was a form that came from the pillar, and it was Vishnu in his Narsimhadev form, half lion, half man. Panic-stricken, the demons, they ran in all directions, helter-skelter, but Hiranyakashipu, as the king, he fought with Vishnu. And just as a cat plays with a mouse, the same thing was happening to Hiranyakashipu. Every single time, Hiranyakashipu thought that he caught the Lord in his clutches, Vishnu would just run away. And, basically it was a game of cat and mouse. And finally, Hiranyakashipu's death came and he was killed on the doorstep. Then the gods, they descended from heaven and offered prayers to Vishnu, and Prahlad also fell at his feet and chanted prayers with much devotion. And he heard the voice of Vishnu saying, "Ask for whatever you want, Prahlad. You are my greatest devotee. Whatever you want will come true." And do you know what Prahlad said? He said, "I want nothing more to serve at your feet, and for my father to be liberated and forgiven for his actions." This is what Prahlad said. This is the mentality of a true devotee. Even though his father, said some horrible things about Vishnu, tried to kill Prahlad, Prahlad was still so sad and compassionate towards his father. And after blessing Prahlad, Lord Vishnu disappeared, and the gods and everyone, they returned back to their respectful homes. So this story, it tells us about if you can remember Vishnu at every point of your life, it doesn't have to be every second, because this is the materialistic world and it's hard. But if we chant and if we follow these 9 processes of devotion, we will be liberated. We will get Krishna's mercy. And nothing harmful will happen to us. And Krishna is always there to protect us.
This concludes our radio program for today. So please join us for Sunday festival in ISKCON. This happens on every Sunday and it starts around 5:30 p.m. Our address is the Hare Krishna Dham. You can search it out in Google, and you can search with ISKCON Houston. And please do visit us every Sunday at 5:30 p.m. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.